back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Martin Dugard. He is the number one New York Times bestselling author, and he's out with a brand new book, Taking Paris, The Epic Battle for the City of Lights. The book's available everywhere, and you probably also recognize Martin's name because he is a co-author with Bill O'Reilly on a ton of killing books, but this is Martin's series on killing and taking. It's all the Ten Commandments, I guess, here. But Martin, as we jump into this, what I always find interesting about these nonfiction books, these historical books, is number one, World War II is such a vast topic. I mean, people could write libraries full of books and you'd never cover everything. But it seems to me like every time somebody sits down to write one of these, it's sort of like looking into a microscope. You have to put it in focus. And so you start off with this grand idea and then you focus in on what you wanted to do, like a laser beam. Is that kind of what you had to do with this book?
That's exactly, you called it. Yeah, so it starts with kind of an overview, just to get to know, for instance, with Taking Paris, it was like, okay, we know that the Germans invaded on May 10th, 1940. We know that Paris was liberated in August 1944. And we know a lot of stuff happened in between. And then, literally because of the book follows a chronological path, I started with what happened on May 10th. Let's tell that story. And then what happened, subsequently. And the fun thing about that is you get these big characters who help guide the narrative, Churchill and De Gaulle and Patton and, these really well-known figures. And if you can use those as tent poles to kind of prop up the narrative, that allows you to, like you said, do that drilling down, that kind of more minutiae thing where you get to know people that we don't know of in history, members of the resistance or the defenders of Burr Hakim, the French Alamo in North Africa. And learning about I'm a history geek, so learning about the stories as they're researched and then retell them for the book and then really get as much rich detail as I can in there, to me, that's a lot of fun.
One of these minor characters, I know her name escapes me, but she was a spy in Paris there. Can you explain about her? Because I found her very interesting.
Yeah, Virginia Hall, the restless woman with one leg.
Yes.
Her story is kind of getting out there. It's becoming more well known. But it was really fun to write about her. So she was a woman from Baltimore. She was a woman of means who accidentally blasted her leg off in a hunting accident with a shotgun. And so she had a wooden leg, and she volunteered her services to the British to go back into France. She was a fluent French speaker and worked as a spy. And ultimately, she became one of the top, running one of the top spy networks in all of France, and completely hunted by the Nazis, who had no idea that she was an American woman. They just knew that they were looking for someone. And she did some very remarkable things. And she ultimately, the British pull her back out, so she goes over and she works for the Americans, for the OSS. She goes back in later in the war. Fascinating woman. Really love to stumble upon that character.
Has historical nonfiction writing evolved over time? And by that, I mean, I remember sitting in my grandparents' house, 40, 45 years ago, looking through. They had World War II books, and they were these huge, long, almost encyclopedia-type books about World War II. But now when I sit down to read your books, and a lot of, even the Killing series, it's almost like I'm jumping right into the page, and I feel it just by the way that you set your books up. Has the whole idea of how to write these books evolved over time to make it more personable for the reader to actually experience the history rather than feel like they're looking at it through a black and white lens?
You just made my day. Seriously, that's my mission. Like I said, I'm a history geek. I really love history, but I don't like the way it has been told for so long. It's these big, boring, academic, I don't know. It's history is fascinating. History should read like a Jason Bourne thriller, and that's what I tried to do with Taking Paris and also with the Killing series is make it easier for the reader. Make the action. Put the reader right there with the character by telling the story in present tense. Fill the story with rich detail, but not every detail. And tell the story in a way that makes people want to keep turning the pages. Keep the chapter short. Nobody wants a 30-page chapter. And just really tell the story with intensity and with passion in a way that the reader finishes the book in maybe is a little bit sad. They want to know more. They want to they You know, I want them to just race through history, because I think that this, I think, I don't know, just, I feel like history is as good as any novel, and it needs to be written like that.
Well, and the way, talk about the details that you put in there, at the beginning of the chapters, you have basically a time, date, and place stamp, and it sort of puts it in my mind, and it helps me if I have to put the book down to go back to it to reorient myself. That almost seems like something you would do as note-taking and think, why just keep it in my notes? Why not just put it in the book and let the reader benefit from this too? Because is that sort of your idea of doing that? Because it seems to work really well as far as how my brain comprehends things.
Yeah, exactly. And it helps me as a writer to kind of give me a path. If I keep it, if the story is told chronologically, and if I know, so if something happens on one date, the next chapter has to be a date someplace later. I don't like to do backstory. I like to keep everything in the present tense. But also, too, again, we have these big characters, the Churchills and the Pattons and the De Gaulles. So to help the reader not get lost, I think that date and time stamp helps, because when you introduce the minor characters and you weave them in with all these people, as long as people know that there is a through line, that there's a thread, and we're not just jumping around willy-nilly, I think it helps calm people. And it just avoids confusion, you know. And I try to have a seamless transition from the last sentence of one chapter to the first sentence of the next chapter.
As you write this book, and you know, you go back and forth between writing the Killing series and writing the Taking series, what do you do to change the voice in your mind? Because I've noticed little nuance of differences, and do you feel it as the writer?
You're a good questioner. These are great questions. When I write with Bill, it's in Bill's voice. And it has to be. He's the main man, and he when we do stuff together, I write in his voice, and then we blend my version and his version. But with this, with Taking Paris, it's completely my voice, Bill comments sometimes about how I tend to gravitate more towards the romantic and the emotional in storytelling than he does, and that really helped me. That kind of gave me a sense of confidence, because I want the reader to hear my voice, but I also want the reader to experience the emotions that I felt writing and that the characters felt as things were taking place.
I always thought when Bill and you started that series is that it was going to be like the George Foreman grill. Bill's doing commercials for these books, until I heard him interviewed the first time, and I realized he is every bit as much into this as you would be as the doing the research. Is that the sense you got, and was that one of your demands before you got into this project? You weren't going to be part of just some commercial, throw your name on a book?
No, when we first did Killing Link, it was the first book of the series. It was supposed to be a one-off. And so I began, the processes that I do the research. Bill comes up with the topic and the table of contents. I do the research. I put together a rough draft of how it should look. I send it to Bill. He rewrites it in his voice and edits in his voice. And then we combine our two versions to get what is the book. But what really impressed me was Bill doesn't just know his history. He has a deep passion for history. And every now and then we'd be talking, he goes, oh, you read this book? Or I'm reading this book right now. So he doesn't just enjoy history. I mean, he reads history. He's a workaholic, but he's also voracious in his desire for knowledge. So he knows his stuff. And I've done other collaborations too with people who were not as committed to what we were doing. And it's ultimately not satisfying, and I've walked away from a few projects like this. But working with Bill on the history is very fun.
Martin Dugard, the author of Taking Paris, The Epic Battle for the City of Lights. Martin, thanks so much for joining me to talk about your book.
Fascinating discussion. Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.